Okay, thank you, Rabbi Zeiger. Shlita. Talmidim Yekarim, precious students, welcome to our synagogue here in Brooklyn. It's a great day for us to have you as our visitors, and we welcome you. You boys look quite young. I'm not sure what grade that you're in. Seventh grade. Oh, that's young. I was in seventh grade in 1980. I think that's way before you were born. I want to tell you something today. It might be above your age. It might be a little mature for you, but nonetheless, I'd like to take a chance. If there's something that you don't understand as I'm talking, I'd like you to raise your hand and say, Rabbi, could you explain it a little clearer? Because I wanna convey a great message today to you. You know, in this week's parasha, that's okay, take your time. Thanks, man, I appreciate it. In this week's parasha, at the end of it, we read about the war of Amalek. Now, most people don't talk about it this week because they're so excited about what happens at the beginning of the parasha. The sea splits, the Jewish people leave Egypt, they sing the song Az Yashir Moshe. It's so dramatic, that part, that we don't have really a chance to talk about the end of the parasha, which is the first war, World War I. The Jews come out of Egypt, and all of a sudden, there's a massive enemy that's about to attack us. The name of the enemy is Amalek, and he's considered the number one enemy. The Torah says we have many enemies, but Amalek is Reshit Goyim. He's number one. The Jewish people are called Reshit. We're the number one nation for God, but against it, there's a number one enemy, Amalek. So we have to fight him. So the Torah tells us how you fight him. You boys maybe read a book about war. Normally you would appoint a general, you'd get the strongest soldiers that you have in the army, you'd get weapons, and you'd go fight. This war is unconventional. That's an English word. Unconventional means it was not fought in the normal ways. Let's review how it was fought. First, Moshe Rabbeinu appoints a general, his student Yehoshua. Yehoshua was a rabbi. I'm quite certain that if America went to war against Russia, they would not call Rabbi Zeiger up and say, Rabbi, we want you to lead the United States Armed Forces against Russia. Nor would they call me up either. It's very strange that Moshe Rabbeinu calls on his student, who was a big rabbi, Yehoshua, to fight a war. He then tells Yehoshua, Behar lanu anashim, you go choose men. Whenever it says anashim, it doesn't mean necessarily strong men, it means men of stature, wisdom. Very good, tzaddikim. Now, I'm not against tzaddikim. I love the tzaddikim. We get blessings from the tzaddikim. But the tzaddikim are not the first people you would think would be fighting a war. They should be in the Beit Midrash learning. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm also going to help you in this war. I'm going to stand on a rock, and when I lift my hands, you will be successful. And when my hands get tired and they drop, then Amalek will be successful. And the Torah tells us that as long as Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were up, they were successful. That's a strange tactic. It's not a gun. It's not a nuclear weapon. It's not a missile. It's Moshe's hands. Kasher yalim Moshe et yado, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifts his hands, v'gavar Yisrael. Yisrael is victorious. It's a strange war, boys. And why does Amalek decide to come now? Why now? The pasuk says, "Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek." Remember what Amalek did to you. Baderech, on the road. Was it on the road? I'm sure it was not on the road. You don't fight a war on the road. You're in Brooklyn now. We have roads. If there's a war in Brooklyn, it's not going to be on the road. It'll be on the battlefield somewhere. What does it mean? Remember what Amalek did to us, Baderech. It wasn't on the Derech. It was in the middle of the desert somewhere. That's not the Derech. You understand some of the questions I'm asking? What I'm going to tell you now is a little deep for seventh graders. I'll ask you to listen to what I'm saying. You probably won't understand this fully till you're about 40 years old. How old are you now?
12.
It's going to probably take you about 28 more years to fully understand what I'm saying. But I don't know when we're going to meet again. You don't come that often. So if we don't see each other before 28 years, at least I'm able to tell this to you now, and you'll have to put it in your bank, in your brain, and pull it out at a later date. How should I tell this to you, boys? You all know that Hashem in heaven, He has a plan. Hashem has a plan. Lavdil, if you have a chairman of a company, He has a plan. He has a plan for the company. How's the company going to get to being profitable? How's the company going to be successful to make money? So he has a system. We're going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and then it's going to lead to money. God has a plan for this world. The ultimate goal is, now listen to the words I'm going to tell you, is to reach Tikkun HaBriyah. You know what the word Tikkun means? Letaken? Very good.
Tikkun is like the thing that has the chapter and
the Tikkun is to fix.
Tikkun is to fix. You said it right. Tikkun, you said it right. Ultimately, the world has to reach a perfection. It has to be fixed to the way God wants it to be. I'm sorry to tell you, boys, the world is not fixed now. The world is actually broken. But God is working on the process to get it fixed. Now, when the world becomes fixed, it doesn't look like it looks like today. And now, in those days, everybody's going to believe in Hashem. Everybody's going to pray to Hashem. Everybody's going to believe. Everybody's going to do the right thing. There's not going to be any evil, no yetzer hara. But Borei Olam is bringing the world slowly to that goal, to that purpose. Again, what's the purpose, boys? Tikkun HaBriyah of the creation. Now, boys, I have bad news to tell you. You know how long this process should have taken? How long would you think it takes to make the Tikkun of the whole world? Very good. Very good. Hashem, it could take very quickly. Actually, it was only supposed to take a few hours. It was supposed to be done on the day that Adam HaRishon was born. He was born on a Friday, by the way. 5,780 years ago, to be exact. And he just had to do a few mitzvot. And a few hours later, God would have said, it's done, and then the world would have been a different world. But you know what happened on that day that he was born, Adam Rishon? He did something. He ate from the Etz Adam. So God said, well, now the tikkun is delayed. Like it's somebody's about to make a beautiful glass, a glass vase. And he makes the beautiful glass. Now he just says, I just need to paint it now. And now I just need to add some flowers to make it beautiful. And he's about to put the last flower on the vase. And what happens? Oh, you're unbelievable. It falls off the table and falls into 1,000 pieces. Now what does the vase maker say? I've got to start again. But now it's going to take a long time to pick all the pieces up, to refashion it, to reform it. Oh, you know the story already? Oh, very good. So now watch what happens. So God says there's a delay. How many years is it going to take? The delay now is the new tikkun is going to arrive in 2,500 years from now. Wow. It went from 2 hours to 2,500 years. The Jews would have to go to Egypt for over 200 years. That's part of the process, boys. It's part of the process. For the world to reach tikkun, don't ask me why it has to be that way. But God knows how to fix things. And sometimes you have to break something first before you fix it. Sometimes before the day comes, night has to come. But he ate it, but he broke it. So God says, listen, let me do what I'm doing. Don't ask questions. I'm fixing the world. We're on a path. What does this path lead to? Tikkun HaBriyah. It's a very, very great path. And we were on it. Came out of Egypt. Now we're going to come to Matan Torah. If the Jews can get to Matan Torah safely, without any interference, God would have said on that day, Rabotai, congratulations. What Adam HaRishon was supposed to do on day one, you have now accomplished that Matan Torah. It was a long road, it was a difficult road, you had to go through Egypt, but you're there. And here's where Amalek comes in. Anytime we're about to get to this great place, Amalek doesn't want us to get there. Because he's the bad, he's the evil. You know, Amalek's a monster. Once the world reaches this perfect place, Amalek doesn't exist anymore. He doesn't want to die. So he's going to stand on that path to block it. So when we were coming out of Egypt, where are we headed, Rabotai? Which road were we on? Not Ocean Parkway. You know what derech we were on? We're on the road to lead to derech tikkun ha'olam, tikkun ha'briyah. And where did Amalek meet us? On that road. He said, I'm not letting you get there. I'm not letting you get there. And any time in history when we almost reach tikkun ha'briyah, who stands in the way? You're unbelievable. Amalek. So he waited. When we were in Egypt, he said, let them, they get beaten up anyway. Who cares? Let Paro do my job. He was happy. Let Paro do my job. He's killing the Jews. I don't have to do it. But once Paro let them go, he said, wait. They're on the way. They're on the derech. The GPS says, destination, Tikkun HaBriyah. Amalek says, no way you're going on this derech. He stood right in front of them. And I'm sorry to tell you, boys, we won that war. It wasn't a physical war. The war against Amalek is not a physical war. So who has to fight that war? Tzadikim. You need Yeshua. You need Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers. It's a spiritual war. He's not fighting us physically. He's trying to block us from a major destination that we're trying to reach for the world, that Hashem will become recognized. And Amalek has two weapons. Boys, Amalek has two weapons. I'd like to tell you the weapons that he uses. The Torah tells it to us that he came with two weapons in order to destroy us. Number one, to break our emunah, and number two, to break our kiddushah. I am going to ask you for definitions of these two words. First, the easier of the two words. What is emunah?
Trust.
Faith. Boys, that's not a definition. I don't know what faith is. I don't know what trust is. Who can give me a sound definition of the word emunah? If I tell you, boys, you have to have emunah, and I'm a first grader. One at a time. Let's say how you would define emunah. That would be a very good definition. The he being God. That he does for a good reason. That he has a purpose. That he knows what's going on. He sees. All that would be included. Anybody have anything more to say about emunah? Yes, dear.
I believe in Hashem.
That he created the world. That he exists. All that is included in emunah. Yes.
That whatever he does is for a reason.
Even if you stub your toe? What could the reason be for stubbing your toe? Oh, which means you don't have to know the reason. But there's a reason. Very good. You have something to say about emunah? I can't hear you. Belief. What? If you were going to say that, you would have said something correct. You still want to say it? Yes, you just said it. Okay, so then you're correct. Anybody else have something to say about emunah? So if Amalek is fighting against emunah, what does that mean his fight is? That whatever you just said, the opposite. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe that everything is done for a reason, doesn't believe that he exists and created the world. All those things that you just said, the opposite. That's the fight. You understand what he's fighting against? It's not a war that you're used to. Normally, a war is people against people. This is against ideas. It's a battle of ideas. Okay, now the harder of the two. He also fights against Kiddushah. Who knows what Kiddushah is?
Holiness.
Holiness? Okay, let me ask you my next question. Please define to me holy. Holy.
Higher Madriga.
Higher Madriga?
Yeah.
Higher level? Than the standard level of everybody else?
Yeah.
Good. Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah.
I know it's the first time we met. Can I ask you a second question?
Yeah.
How do I attain that higher level? Okay. I agree with you. Kiddushah is definitely a higher level. Mm-hmm. Like on an airplane, there's the back of the plane, there's the front of the plane. You know what the front of the plane is called?
First class.
Oh, you know a lot. You ever sit in first class?
All the time.
All the time, good. So I know how to get the first class, that you have to pay money. Kiddushah definitely is a higher class, but how do you get there?
You learn.
You learn. How do you get there? No, there's a lot of Jews, honey, that are not kadosh. Clearly, just by being Jewish doesn't automatically make you kadosh. I'm agreeing with his definition. That Kiddushah is a higher standard. But what do you have to do to get there?
Do you feel Hashem's presence every second of the day?
Well, I'm sure that'll get you there. I cannot argue with what you said. Do you live by that standard?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're a holy man and you're Kadosh. Gentlemen, we have an example of somebody that is Kadosh. There you go. You must be related to the prophet Yonah. He also was Ben Amittai. Yes. What is this?
I have
emunah. Oh, so emunah and kiddushah, the same thing. That's very clever. You took the first thing we talked about and you connected it to. I know that trick. I used to do that trick when I was in school also.
Let's say you be higher than what you could do. Like, let's say you're normal. Try to do further than the.
Beautiful. Way. Go beyond. But in what area?
In
what? Spiritual area. What specific areas brings me to Kiddushah? I'm crystallizing the question. We're getting a better clarity, boys. Yes? Emunah. Oh, so you heard his answer. So there's an echo in the room. Oh, I didn't say it. You heard what one of the members of the class just said? Kiddusha comes from two things. What goes in our bodies? No, that comes out of our bodies. I'm saying what goes in our bodies in two places. There are two places where things go into our bodies. Very good. Very good. I'm not so worried about the ears. I'm primarily talking about the mouth, what we eat, and the eyes, what we see. The way we get things into our brain is not through our mouth. You see, when I eat, the stuff that I eat goes down. The stuff that I see goes up. So I'm worried about the two places where stuff is collected. Stuff is collected in my stomach, and stuff is collected in my brain. The mouth of the brain is the eyes. You know what I just said? I just made it up, that statement. It's a beautiful statement, no? You never looked at your eyes like a mouth. Whenever your eyes are looking at, it's eating. Now, it won't give you nutrition to your stomach, but it fills your brain up. If you want to reach Kiddushah is based on what your stomach is filled with and what your brain is filled with. So you're correct. Kiddushah is attained by the mouth and by the eyes. Boys, you okay still? Can I go further? That's the fight of Amalek. That means that he knows if he can get us to sin in our mouths and in our eyes, we can't reach Tikkun HaBriyah. How does he know it? He knows it. If he can get us to sin in Kiddushah and Emunah, Kiddushah is mouth and eyes. Emunah is belief. If he can get us on those two things, we cannot reach the Derech. I'm sorry to tell you, he was successful in that war. We beat him, but he slowed us down. Matan Torah would come, and we would not reach the Tikkun. Shall I tell you another time we came very close to the Tikkun? Very close. 40 years later, after we got the Torah, God said, oh boy, they're good. You know why we were good in the Midbar? Did we ever eat anything unkosher in the Midbar? No, our mouths were perfect. What were we eating? Man. Kosher food. 40 years eating kosher. Not only kosher food, but food of the angels. Did we have Emunah in the Midbar? Of course, the highest level of Emunah for 40 years. And now we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. We're right there. The vase is made again. It's painted. The flowers are put on it. And we have one more flower to add. Who shows up right before we enter Eretz Yisrael? No, he didn't show up.
No.
That was a trick question. He didn't show up. No. Listen, gentlemen, answer. I'm gonna give you a hint. Before we entered Israel, a king and a prophet.
Balak.
Oh, that's the king. And who's the prophet?
Balak.
You know why they came? To block us. Anytime we came close, somebody came to block us. Now, didn't I just tell you that Amalek usually blocks us?
We just took
him
out.
No, we never took him out. He's still around. So where does Balak and Bil'am come from? I thought only Amalek blocks us. Bil'am. What's the last two letters of Bil'am's name? Am. What's the two last letters of Balak's name? Oh, Amalek. Bil'am and Balak actually are the proxies of Amalek. That's why you needed both of them. Bil'am is the Am, and Balak is the Lak. Bingo, Amalek. Understand what's going on here, boys? And what did they do to the Jewish people? Leave his curses. His curses didn't work. He couldn't curse us. That was that's the part that he wasn't able to do. But then what did he do? You remember he brought an Avodah Zarah Baal Peor? And the Jews started to worship the Avodah Zarah. What does that compromise? Emunah. And then what happened after they made the sin of Baal Peor? You remember he brought the girls? And what did the Jewish people do, a lot of them? And there goes the Kiddushah. They looked. He got us. Emunah and Kiddushah. And what happened? The process became delayed again. Every time we almost come close to the process, there's a delay. Well, how long was this delayed until? So God said, listen, I have a new destination. It was supposed to happen when Adam Arishon. It then got delayed to Matan Torah, but Amalek messed it up. Then it was supposed to be before we entered Eretz Yisrael, Balak and Balaam came. Amalek came again. So God says, okay, here it is. Build me the first Beit HaMikdash, and it's over. Tikkun HaBriyah will happen. First Beit HaMikdash. Anybody know the name of the king that built it?
Shlomo.
You're both right. David started it, and Shlomo finished it. You're both right. There was a king right before David.
Saul.
Very good. He only was a king for a few years, not a long time at all. The Jews were a few years away from building the Beit HaMikdash. Boys, take a guess. Who showed up? The monster showed his ugly head again. Because he knew we were about to build the Beit HaMikdash. Who would fight him? Shaul. He would win the war, but not completely. You remember the name of the king that he left alive? Agag. Agag. Close. Nebuchadnezzar, Agag. Sounds the same. Agag. Agag. What happened, boys, as a result? We got delayed. I know, you're getting frustrated. I'm also frustrated. I'm just as frustrated as you, by the way. Again, it's worse than the trains. Now, anybody know when the next delay, the new arrival was supposed to be for Tikkun HaBriyah? You're so smart. The second Beit HaMikdash. The second Beit HaMikdash, boys. God said, fine, just build me the second Beit HaMikdash. The tikkun will be made, Mashiach will come, and everybody will live happily ever after. The Jews are about to go back to Israel to build the second Beit HaMikdash. Anybody know who showed up?
Amalek.
You know the name of Amalek's grandson that showed up right before we built the second Beit HaMikdash? Haman, you said?
Yeah.
Well, make believe you said it. Yeah, you're right, Haman. You said it. Now you said it. Haman. What do you want from us now, Haman? Because he smelt that we're almost at the end of the derech. Right before we came to build the second Beit HaMikdash, who shows up? Haman. And what happens? We beat him, but he slows us down again. That means any time we're close to the finish line, Amalek shows up. So we got delayed. Now, gentlemen, I came to reveal a big secret now. When is the new arrival time?
The third Beit HaMikdash.
Very good. When is that? Who said now?
Me.
Right, you're correct. Today. God said the new destination or the new arrival time for Tikkun HaBriyah is immediately at any moment. Oh, very good. So what do you think is going to happen in our time? You think Amalek's not going to fight us? Of course he is. But I don't see Amalek. Where is he? I don't see him. He's not around. Those are the physical guys. It's not physical, boys. Remember I told you it's ideas? In our generation, don't you find we have certain nisyonot, very strong tests? Well, the first test that we have is what we eat. But you know what? more or less, there's a lot of kosher food out there, so I'm not too worried about that. But we also have the concern of what goes into our brains. I'm sure all of you have some sort of access to the internet. Oh, I'm sorry, do you even know what the internet is? I wouldn't I'm sorry, I should have known that tzaddikim like yourselves would have no idea what that is even. What is it? You have no idea. I know it. Forgive me. I forgot who I'm talking to. What is this so-called internet exactly? Well, I'm glad that you don't know about it. You know why I'm glad? Because that means that you boys are involved in tikkun habriyah. Because Amalek tries to get you in that area, and you're telling me that you have no connection to it. So it seems that you boys might be responsible once and for all for destroying Amalek. You have to have emunah also, I must point out, but your emunah, I'm sure, is sky high, no problem with that. So then, gentlemen, I have good news for you. You're young, but you're only in 7th grade, as you mentioned to me earlier. This battle against Amalek is happening in our generation. If you see that there's so much tests when it comes to our eyes and our mouths, that means he's fighting. And he only fights when he sees we're getting close. Remember what I told you? He only fights when he sees we're getting close. So if you see that that's the fights that we're having today, what does that mean? We're under derech. We're getting close to the finish line. And therefore I say to you boys, now's not the time to lighten up on your emunah and on your kiddushah. Amalek would like to tell you, in your school, boys, do you learn science?
Yes.
What does your science teacher tell you about how the world was created? Right. Well, make sure that you don't learn in science. Exactly. Don't let them tell you that the world just happened by itself. That's Amalek. Not flat. I wonder how the world was created. No, don't tell me smushed. The only way the world was created was God created it. Hashem said, let there be a world, and there was. That's emunah. Today, Amalek, boys, tries to take that idea away from young brains like yourselves. And as long as you're careful to what goes into your stomach and what goes into your brains, to answer your question, young man, that's how you upgrade yourself to a higher level, by watching your intake of ingestion into the stomach and ingestion into via the eyes and the mouth, and you have uncompromised emunah. As a result, Amalek is defeated and tikkun habriyah is accomplished, and we reach the destination of the derech. I want to just ask you a question. If I had to ask you somebody in Tanakh that you know was a very kadosh, he watched his eyes, he was careful not to look at something he's not allowed to, would you have an example of a man that was the epitome of Kiddushah?
David?
I would agree with all those tzaddikim. But the perfect example, I'll give you a hint. Oh, why do you say Yosef? No, he said Yosef. That's not fair. He said the answer. You got to let him answer. Oh, he's your spokesman? You're his secretary. Please answer for him. Eshet Potifar? Yes. I got it. I remember it. Yosef. By the way, I wish Yosef was alive, because if Yosef was alive, he's the best one to fight Amalek. Amalek's fighting Kiddushah, I'll send you Yosef, you could fight it. But Yosef wasn't alive. Take a guess, boys, who's Yosef's great-great-grandson? Yoshua. That's why Moshe chose Yoshua. Because if you're looking to fight Kiddushah, you bring Yoshua. Now, boys, If you're thinking of a spiritual, biblical character, somebody in Tanakh that had the most emunah, who would you say? Moshe. I would say Moshe also. Eved Hashem. Moshe is called Ne'eman. Ne'eman means he has emunah. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, listen, we have a big battle over here. We're fighting emunah and kedushah. I'm going to stand on the mountain. I'm going to fight the war for Klai Yisrael to make sure that they have emunah. And you're going to fight downstairs to make sure that Klai Yisrael has kedushah. It's an unconventional battle. Moshe and Yeshua each represented those midot in order to fight the ideas that Amalek professes. Yeah, you're right, but Avraham wasn't alive at that time. I wish, if Avraham was alive and Yosef was alive, those are the two people I would pick. I would put Avraham on the mountain and put Yosef on the field, but they weren't around. So who would I pick instead? Moshe on the mountain, Yeshua downstairs, I have Emunah here, I have Kiddushah here. They almost won, but Amalek was able to put his poison. And he would delay the tikkun. So I say to you, gentlemen, we are almost there. And you'll have the best existence once that tikkun is made, like all of us. It's the best times. There'll be no more sick people. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to have troubles. That time when this tikkun is made is just bliss, happiness, enjoyment. And we're almost there. And every time a Jew has more emunah and more kiddushah, the train moves a few feet closer to its destination. My blessing to you boys is?
For the blessing, can we ask two questions?
Two? Please do.
Technical questions.
Okay, those are my favorite questions.
Why the first was 2 hours, the next one is 2,500 years, then there's 40 years, and there's 70 years.
It's a great question. What I will tell you too is, if I have a vase and I'm about to put the last flower on the vase and the vase falls off the table and breaks into a million pieces, it's going to take me a very long time to fix it. But let's say the vase didn't fall off the table, but it chipped. It would take me much less time to fix it. When Adam ate from the tree, that was a big sin. So the vase broke into a million pieces. Later on, we committed sins, but they weren't as critical as the sin of Adam. The vase chipped, the base broke, the paint chipped off. So therefore, it would take less time in order to reach the completion again. Hear the answer?
Remember the 7 days of Mikdash? It's 2,500.
It seems to me that those sins in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash were so great that the vase not only broke, but it became pulverized into sand. So we had to start the process from scratch. You're right. Second question.
I'm a second grade boy. I live in 5 towns.
Yes.
I have access to everything in the world that I could imagine.
Okay.
And what?
I was never in 5 towns. You do have access to everything in the world in the 5 towns?
Let's just say.
Maybe I should move there. We have access to nothing here in Brooklyn.
Let's just say.
Oh, look, hypothetically. Okay.
Bon Agid. What the Rav is saying, Tikkun Avriya, and me, I'm a 7th grade boy.
You say, what else? What else can you get besides? Meaning, already you have a pizza store. Already you have, a shawarma house. Already you have a bowling alley. Already you have a swimming pool. So what in the world could Tikkun Abiriya?
No.
Already some of you go, is that your question?
No,
I'm sorry.
The question is, when I get access to
everything
that Rabbi spoke about before, the things that are damaging.
Oh, that part. Oh.
I'm a 7th grader, and the rabbi, we go to a rabbi in Brooklyn because he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
He says to us, we can bring Mashiach.
Mm-hmm.
We.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do now? I have all these things. My parents say it's okay. Everything's okay. What do I do?
I'll tell you very simple. Thank you, Rabbi. I got your question now. You know where Amalek stands today, boys? I'm going to tell you where he stands. Amalek is not the cell phone. It's not the cell phone. I have a cell phone. You think I would hold Amalek in my pocket? Good. Amalek is not the computer. I have a computer in my office. You think I would have Amalek in my office sitting with Amalek all day long? It's not the computer. But I'll tell you where Amalek stands. In front of my phone, there's a filter. The filter doesn't allow Amalek to enter. Now, obviously, he does not want that filter to be there because he wants to get in. The fight of Amalek is not on the phone. It's right in front of it. So if I were you boys, yes, what a young guy in seventh grade in wherever you come from, five towns, what you can do? I would tell you to make sure not to throw away your phones and not to throw away your computers. But I would just to make sure to put a big sign in front of it that Amalek cannot enter. Today we have that system. Now if you don't put a filter, basically what you're doing is you're going like this to Amalek. Kill me. Take me hostage. Take me prisoner. And then you delay the arrival for everybody else. But if you come and say, listen, you're not getting in here. So Amalek finally says, what? I'm going to get beaten by a seventh grader? Little kid? But again, since it's not a physical war, you don't have to worry. If it was a physical war, you would say, how could a seventh grader beat an ogre, a monster? But it's a spiritual war. And the best ones to fight the spiritual sometimes are the youngsters. Because you boys have a lot of energy. And you can use that energy to fight him by blocking it. Hear what I just told you, boys? That means as long as things that are inappropriate cannot enter, Amalek has lost the war. That's one example. I don't have to speak to you about eating kosher. Nor do I think I have to speak to you about emunah. I think those things in your town is very strong. But I am concerned about that block, that stop sign that you have to... Now, you might say to yourself, no, Rabbi, I don't need the stop sign. I don't need the filter. You could trust me. Guess what I answer to you? I do trust you. But I don't trust Amalek. That's the problem. What do you think? If you tell Amalek, listen, you know, we'll make a deal. I'm not going to block you, but you don't bother me. Could you trust him? He's going to get in there. You're going to be doing something. He's going to jump in. And you're going to tell Amalek, I thought we had a deal. And he says, you're making a deal with the devil. You can't trust me. So although I trust you for not wanting to bring him in, I don't trust him for not coming in without permission. We call that intruding. Any other questions, boys, before we call this session to an end? Well, if that's the case, gentlemen, I bless you that you should be successful on your mission. Our nation is relying on you, boys. We're relying on your emunah. We're relying on your kiddushah. And then we're going to meet again before you're 40 years old. When the Mashiach comes, and he's going to get up and say, Rabotai, I have good news to announce. We have reached Tikkun HaBriyah. And you're going to say, I don't believe it. Rabbi Mansour spoke about it. He predicted it. He told us about it. We were there. We knew about it. And then the Mashiach is going to look in the crowd. And he's going to say, where's the boys from Yeshiva Darche in the five town? Where are those boys? Will they please rise? And the seventh grade of Rabbi Zeke is going to get up and say, yeah, we're here. And he's going to say to the Mashiach, you're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. Rabotai, we'd have to give a big hakarat hatov to the group over here of these young boys that they were partly responsible, among millions of other Jews, that they were partly responsible for bringing the world to its ultimate tikkun. So I say to you all, Chazak u Baruch, Hezku v'yemetz levavchem, kol ha'mihalim la'Hashem.